This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. It's Holly Snape here from Community Waikato and have a very special guest with me today. I have Paul Tierney here today, ex-police officer, ex-senior constable actually. Now he's the founder of the charitable trust Here to Care. Really appreciate you being here, Paul. It's been a long time since we connected in the community. You've been around for a long time. I'm not trying to age you here. But it is great that you've come back to the community with a charitable trust trying to do some amazing work in the Western Dinsdale, Norton area. Tell us a little bit about what you've got going on.
What a privilege to be here, Holly. So good to reconnect with you again, and thanks for catching up recently. Like, where do I start? I guess for me, it's been a journey, a lifetime journey. I originate from Taranaki. Taranaki's my maunga. And then there's a lovely river that feeds off that called Manganui. And I have great childhood memories of playing down there, the stones, and it refreshes us, right? So yeah. I moved out of Taranaki at the age of 12 up to the Bay of Plenty.
Where in the bay were you?
Yeah, Te Puke.
Oh, I was Tauranga.
Right.
We were pretty close.
Yeah. So Te Puke High School.
And another relatively small community there,
yes,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it really gave me a good insight into, you know, that was my first sort of experience in a major way associating with the Māori.
Yeah.
And being a European of Irish, Polish sort of descent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just connected immediately. And a lot of my good friends today came from that place. So,
yeah.
The Māori, that connection, the Wairua, we share that. And being Irish, I suppose, helps with that, and you hear the stories going back into history, really, you know, just connects well. So
yeah.
So that's my iwi and my whakapapa, and Dad came out in 1966 on a Boeing 707, so I guess that's my waka.
You're second generation Kiwi. No, second.
Yeah, with Dad.
Yes.
And then Mum's side, Polish, so.
Oh, Polish,
we go back probably on fourth, I think.
Yeah. So you sort of grew up outside of the Waikato region. Did you come into the Waikato as a police officer, or did you come in earlier, or how did that happen?
That's right. So, I met my wife-to-be over in the Bay of Plenty, essentially. And then we went to Fairlie in the South Island, and we were working on my brother's farm there in Fairlie. So I'd done a lot of travel overseas and stuff, and I'd... I guess it's on those trips overseas is when I really established the connection with people. And, you know, having a farming background, I realised that, being around people is where I wanted to be.
Yeah, because farming's quite isolating.
Yeah. And also, I loved animals and stuff, but I felt a stronger connection with people. So she was very encouraging and helping me execute my dream, which was to join the New Zealand Police. And, I got stuck into that in 2006.
Yeah.
And, finally exited 23rd of July last year.
Yeah.
So
So you were there for a while.
Yeah, a good 17 years on the books, I suppose it was. Massive memories, I love all my brothers and sisters in blue. And, it was a career I just, like those things in life, you just, if you've got an itch, you've got to scratch it. And, I'm very proud of that career and the connections I made.
What you did there, though, was you were lucky enough to be during a period of community policing as well. And this is where you've really connected with the Norton community. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your history in that space?
100%, yeah. So 2011, went out there in about February. One person applied for that job.
Really?
And that was me. So, it's community policing... we're world leaders at it, you know,
yes.
New Zealand, and it worked, it made sense to me. I enjoyed my time on the front line, however, I always had an affiliation with Norton. When we first set up in Hamilton, we actually had a house on Grandview Road.
Oh, wow.
We were renting there, people were like, what are you doing out there? I loved it, you know, I biked. I can honestly say I probably I wouldn't have driven a car to work more than 10 times.
Yeah.
Across that career. So I loved biking into work. But yeah, so that initial phase, and then just the connections I started making. And as soon as that opportunity came up to get out there as a community cop, I was out there. And straight away got stuck into the mahi with creating community projects.
Yes.
Alongside Blue Light and using those sort of good connections. And it's a vibrant community in the sense that it's not a thoroughfare, probably like Fairfield, Melville, yes, and that, like, you know, there's no real major road through it. So we sort of, you know, had a good understanding of who our people were. That's why the Western Community Centre and Te Rongopai Trust, St Mark's, do so well as well.
Yeah.
So just on that note too, what I'm setting up, I'm there to support them. Definitely not there to compete, and, yeah, we can do this together.
Oh, I think that's, you know, the sense that you should only have one community thing in a space is crazy. You know, none of us can do it all, you know, right, and we do really need to work together. So I appreciate you acknowledging the value of those other fantastic entities, and, you know, you will bring so much value by being able to work together. So yeah, that is awesome. Community policing is quite different from general frontline policing. You're building relationships with people that you're meeting every day often, eh? So it's not like, you know, if you're walking the beat, you might run into someone once, or you might run in, I suppose, the people you see regularly are the ones who are in a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Whereas in community, you see everybody, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have a lot, you build a depth of relationships across, yeah, that community.
Absolutely. Had a little saying, fool me once, fool me twice, we'll get you the third time. You sort of had that relationships, yeah, but the, yeah, anyone that was in trouble, you sort of worked with them to get out of that as well.
Yes.
So it wasn't just arrest.
No.
You'd come back and see how they were getting on. Bail checks, a bit more of a conversation.
Yeah.
So there was an established community constable who had a little radio show in 89 FM,
yep,
Constable Woodley Cuthers,
yes,
who's now gone on to great, great heights in the New Zealand Police, so good on him. So, yeah, and I learned a lot from Willie, and, like, there was, so that connection was there. We were in the little community house, 100 Grandview Road, and you'd get people dropping in, you know, with their concerns, or that, you know, even gang members and things like that would come in because they didn't necessarily like talking to other staff they didn't know.
Yeah.
So they might have an inquiry to do, or a license thing they needed to check out, you know. So, yeah.
It just made a lot of sense, you know. It really did, and yeah, it was devastating to lose that type of policing.
Yeah, and then in the I suppose, business corporate sense, you had you were part of the interagency meetings.
Yes.
And so you had a real handle, and you could feed back to stakeholders in the community what we knew, and shared information, and just reassured people, you know.
Yeah.
So on the ground, yeah, you're a bit closer to what where the issues were. So
yeah,
it really worked. But in 2014, there was a restructure, and we created a prevention team, essentially. So, yeah, the whole prevention first model kicked in. They didn't want to scrap the concept as far as community constables went. They just wanted to restructure it and try to centralise staff in a way to keep them safe.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll say no more.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to hold my opinion on that as well. but anyway, where we've got to with this is that you've had this history in the community and built these relationships, and now you've exited the police force and you've had this idea around how to support young people, and you've developed a charitable trust called Here to Care, which I love the name, by the way. Is it your baby? Is your little gem? Because it's a cool name.
Yeah, available. I felt available.
Yeah.
You know, having left the police.
Yeah.
And so I was sort of, you know, thinking available. And then someone said the domain name was too long.
Oh,
so
if
you shortened it, and then I was like, and I came back to him, well, I'm here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then there's also the H-E-A-R element to it. So we are H-E-R-E.
Yes.
But, you know, we want to listen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good point as well. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what Here to Care is and who it is that you work with. So awesome. Thanks, Paul.
Distrust, no room for
We're here with Paul, talking about Head of Care, which is a very new charitable trust set up in the Norton community, down Grandview Road, talking a little bit about the stuff that they're doing in the community, and it is really exciting. I had the opportunity to call in the other day and meet a couple of people. You've already got people putting their hands up wanting to volunteer and be involved, so that's fantastic. Let's start, though, with what the model is. So what is Head of Care? What is it you actually want to do?
Yeah, well, I mean, we envisage a world where young people feel safe and welcome at home while also accountable for their actions,
yeah,
whether good or bad. So the long-term concept will be not necessarily in the young person's face. It's about what's going on at home, how can we help?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's just mowing the lawns.
Yeah, isn't it funny how actually it can be some of the most simple activities that really help people, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's interesting you say, you know, people, about making young people feel safe and accountable for their actions. So do you think that that's missing for a lot of young people at the moment, that accountability?
Yeah, big time, eh? So when I finished my career, I was in youth aid.
Oh,
so
wow.
So the prosecution arm of the police, working alongside lawyers in the courts, and Oranga Tamariki. So I got a real insight into where the gaps were, and for accountability, one of the biggest things the only thing we could lean on really was community work, apology letters.
Yeah.
They might provide a gift.
Do you find it works, like when a young person writes an apology letter, do you think that resonates with them? I'm just genuinely curious about that. And I imagine maybe some, for some and not so much for others. I don't know.
That's right. Sometimes it does, others it doesn't. But you've got to find out what I call it, their currency.
Yeah.
What's a young person's currency? Are they an artist? Do they like getting their hands dirty? Are they into mechanics?
Yeah.
Gaming, you know. So once you find that, you find that conversation, you can start working around what their interests are.
Yeah.
So I don't just want, like, I've got a community garden. We've got that element
actually,
to it.
That garden is looking amazing. And seeing as we just mentioned it now, you've got, like, quite a number of already raised garden beds.
Yeah.
Digging a hangi pit.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah. Well,
who did that digging?
Yeah.
There was some digging that's gone into that, eh?
Yeah, triggering trees. Put on the guy that came on the day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, yeah, some awesome people out there, eh, that are willing to help and get stuck in. But I'll get back to the volunteers just quickly, because how awesome are they? And, look, this is a huge gamble as well for me. I've, you know, I've put in a lot of my own stuff into it. But in the early days, I was very naive. I've learned a lot. And I sort of went in there, hoping that, well, if I open the doors, the people will come and we'll work it out together. But then, you know, with, like, everything, you put dates, you put sort of goals and tasks, and then their energy really wants to see it, you know, not only the dream be achieved, but also, you know, they really want to help. So there's a lot of energy and a lot of people there. Yeah, just really wanting to make it happen. So, unfortunately, I didn't get my tikanga probably as good as I probably should have, and just making sure that everyone knew each other.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a bit of a rush. And I had this, so I took the keys 1st of September, and then we reached Porphyry 22nd of November.
Mm.
And there was some real hectic times there. And like, the people that were helping me at the time were just incredible, eh? And I'm forever grateful for that input that they gave.
Yeah.
And like everything in life, you know, we get busy. There's jobs. People have got to hold down their jobs. And we're in a tough time economically. And so you'll have people come and go. And just whatever they can contribute, I massively appreciate it. I guess the way I look at it is, you know, I don't expect anything from them other than, you know, like, their love and support, and that's exactly what I've been getting. So at the moment, we've got a core little crew there. We've got a trust board obviously set up, and as the community service workers. So the huge first phase of the whole thing was getting the building operational. It was a bit run down, so we've had to do some plastering and painting, and there's a carpet gone, and get it all cleaned up.
And it's like, it's a little house that's been refurbished, really, eh? And it's a lovely little place. It has such a nice, wider, a really good feel to it when you walk in.
That's
so
right.
You've done a great job with it.
So the young people had some community service hours to do, and just the volunteers and myself would just supervise that. And, so as those referrals have come and gone, they've achieved something, and it's been meaningful work for them too, and they can actually see what they've achieved. And as we move forward with the garden getting near completion, get the hanging pit and all that stuff looking good, we're partnering with some outside of town, possibly farm, you know, garden type situations. And then, we can move forward with however and whatever happens on that community workspace. But then the foot in the door with the local community in Tamariki is going to be a huge focus there, working with Norton and Crawshaw School.
Yeah, that is going to be critical. But what you're doing is really looking for opportunities and pathways for young people, eh, who have perhaps had some barriers in front of them. So we're not talking the ones who are hardcore ram raiding and stuff, eh? It's a step or two back from that. But it's the ones who are just walking down a road that might not be leading to a good place. Is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah, you're onto it. Exactly, eh? Yeah, and if... if we can create a safe haven for them as well, every young person I get along, I have a chat to them with, what would a hub for you look like, you know? So they get a bit of input into that, and if we can design that. So there's a guy there, he's got some musical equipment, and he's there's potential there for them to learn drums, guitar. But not only that, just create a real nice space in there. So we're, you know, that's an ongoing journey that we'll reach and with the Hangi Pit and potential hunting trips and things like that, we can get some kai cranking and they could not have hard out parties, but a gathering.
A gathering, a little social.
Nice.
Safe. Exactly. So are we talking young men and women?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
And what sort of age group are you keen to work with?
Yeah, so we've had just over 30 come through at the moment.
I mean, see, that's actually a lot considering you have not been operating long. So,
Various hours as well.
Like, yep.
Yeah, boys and girls, and 13 to 18, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We've had a couple even just under the 20 in the sort of young adult space. And what I see with those, even around the late teens, is the potential to be leaders and, you know, like if they want to come back. And we'd love to set up some computers and do some online courses and stuff at one stage as well. So
I'll talk to you about that after this too. Yeah,
that's an ongoing ongoing thought. But, yeah, if we can change society one step at a time and then take away little gems that they can put in their home life, we're ticking boxes, eh?
Is there, do you see, you know, you've already been working with, like, over 30 young people. Are there some consistencies with their stories, you know, that is giving you a bit of insight into where the issues are or what where the interventions need to be?
Yeah, so their peer groups, ones that aren't in trouble, who I suppose in a way are free, they're like knocking on the door wanting to take the one that's in trouble out. But the one that's in trouble, if he or she can see a way out of their plan.
Yeah.
So I still do a lot of cop speak, right? So there's family group conference plans, and they have to achieve those to sort of, in a way, exit the system.
Yes.
And they can get hung up on community service or other little tick box things they've got to do. There's mentoring, there's oranga tamariki, there's, you know, getting a driver's license, all these good things that are happening.
Yeah.
And the community work is sort of forgotten about sometimes. But, yeah, so when they start seeing these hours get ticked off, they see an end to it, and they feel some pride, and they can go to court with actually a good report. So that builds into it. And I've had a comment like that where one young person said that they were knocking on the door, but he said no because he can see a way out. So
that's really cool. Yeah. That is critical. Something you said to me the other day when we were across the road from your whare where we're having a cuppa was the importance of the young people being involved in creating kind of the look and feel of the place. And we were talking about the garden out the front. And I love that sense of, and it ties into what you're saying with accountability too, I think, a sense of ownership that young people can have a place that they feel they contributed to and they made that happen. So I thought that was a really insightful way to bring people on board as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had them from all around the city as well. Like, we'll get to a point where it is...
it's busy enough that it will just...
just Norton locals. And like long-term dreaming, I'd love to see more of these houses.
You know?
You think derelict buildings in communities.
Oh, we've got plenty in Beta, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So good.
Oh, I know, right?
We've had a few Beta boys come through.
I'm not surprised.
They've been great. And I've been so impressed with these workers, with the work ethic.
Yeah.
You know, and there's skills there for sure,
So absolutely.
You just got to provide the right platform for them.
Yeah. Yeah, and you do talk about young people contributing, obviously, to the development like we've just talked about, but also the security. Do you want to explain to me what you mean by that as well?
Yeah, enhancing. So when someone's got an investment in a way or time, that helps with the security.
Yeah.
So I was very nervous. How's this going to go? You know, is the place going to get damaged, beaten up? Is it still a cop shop? It's got that stigma. Who am I?
Yeah.
Am I a narc?
Yeah.
So all this stuff, eh? But man, they've looked after me, and
that is, yeah. And that's relationships, right?
Yeah.
You know,
so they see what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And that's got to start with our young people.
Exactly.
You know, you go lecturing, you go beating them up, they're going to come back.
They will. So what do you need?
Bigger, faster, stronger.
What do you need help with right now? What's sort of on top for you guys?
Thank you so much. Okay. So we're always after donations, practical tools,
yep.
plants, compost, things like that for the garden. We are going to get a worm farm sort of thing up and running there. But if anyone has anything they want offloaded, try it, you know, just check us out. Eh? And,
awesome.
And we're very interested in taking, if we don't need it, we'll find someone that will. Now, as far as the hungy pit goes, there's this concept out there that you use iron bars, the iron railway tracks.
Oh, yeah.
So, if anyone's got any access or knows of any of them, and we're just sort of working out how that hungy pit looks and how it's designed. So the first sort of the next phase from what you've seen is a bit more spade work there.
Yep.
And we're also looking for like kit sets or art equipment. So on rainy days, and we've got a lot of creative young people away, so if they're not doing apology letters, or they could do a little drawing for a victim or something, or even stuff that we could potentially put up on the wall.
Yeah.
Or mural design, things like that. So just little art packs. And if someone showed an interest in that, we could send them home with that.
Yeah.
Art for me is huge.
Yeah.
Like it's a window into the creativity. But also, we used to have a huge problem with tagging. I think tag busters are very good at cleaning it up probably these days. But it has dropped off because of the access to gaming and other things.
Yeah.
They've got other interests.
Yeah, that's right. If there's another activity, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the practicality of being creative and trying to keep that going is there. So,
yeah.
Yes, and obviously... donations, we would so appreciate. Yep.
How will people get hold of you?
Yeah, here to care. So we're in the process of creating a web page, but we'll put a link on here for Instagram and other things, and I look forward to getting this link that we can share and get it around. And
how will people find you? What number, Grandview Road?
Yeah, 100 Grandview Road, so we're right across the road from...
Can't forget that.
...the Grandview Cafe. And, I've got my phone number too, which we can use, and... We'll get that all posted up.
That is absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate you coming in. And we will bring you back to have another conversation as you carry on.
Please do.
Fabulous. That is Paul from Here to Care. And you have been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.